Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus.
Reading today from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Let's give thanks for these words that will make us know, if we believe them, that in times like these, we need a Savior. We need him at all times. And we need him to teach us as well as he came to die for us and shed his blood on the cross. Let's pray in his name that God will send the Spirit to lead us into all the truth as we need to know it today. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name for all that has been given. We give thanks, Father, that in thy love thou dost give Christ to die for sinners, to die on the cross, to be made a curse in our stead. And we pray in his name that now his Spirit might be given to us. As Paul could write, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. And we confess, Father, that we need the Spirit to make us begin, to have life, to be quickened from the dead. We need thy Spirit to begin with thy word. We need thy Spirit also, as thou, Lord Jesus, did teach these people, telling them, if they continue in thy word, that then they are thy disciples. They will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. And we pray that we might be those that will continue to hear these words as we go through this narrative of thy dealing with them and their sad end of picking up stones to stone at thee. Father, we pray that none of us may be left in such hardness of heart, such rebellion, that we may truly know that we need a rock, that we will be made very sure, more sure in the right way than these were, that they were, Father, thy children and one with Abraham. Help us to have that same blessing as Abraham had, and thou dost promise to him that all the nations of the earth would be blessed by his seed. We pray, Father, that that may take place throughout the world, that all the ends of the earth will soon hear and fear and turn unto thee. We pray it especially for Abraham's seed that are in blindness, that they may know that thou, Lord Jesus, has come, and that what was promised to Abraham has taken place and been fulfilled in many ways, and what must yet be fulfilled in thy sending thy Spirit to make thee known. We pray that that may be done in our time, if it could be thy will. We give thanks for these spiritual blessings, these eternal blessings. We pray also that we might have, especially for those in need, the temporal blessings, those that are in sickness, that they might be healed, and injuries as well. We pray for those in older age. We pray for our homes, especially the broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray, Father, for the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for our schools, our governments in each nation, ours and others. We pray, Father, for the leaders, that they might have the fear of thee, which is the beginning of wisdom, that they might be taken from their foolishness and divisions. We pray all these things and give thanks in the name of Christ. Amen. As we continue, coming near the end of this chapter, we would especially think of the Lord Jesus and those people as well. Speaking of Abraham, earlier in the chapter, we read in verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Who was Abraham? He was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, a nation north and to the east of where he was brought later. He traveled that distance. We can read of it in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. But especially the third verse, the last part of it. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In other places where he repeated that promise to Abraham and also gave it to Isaac and to Jacob, it's a little bit more in detail. There it says, In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. This is true the way it's stated here, but not quite as plain. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Some people think it's in him and his physical seed, but that will be a blessing. And in some ways, that's true. And the first part of the verse says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. If there are those who will bless Abraham and his seed, they will be blessed, and that will be a blessing to them. But the greater, the more needed blessing, the rock of which we sang, that is from the seed of Abraham, as Paul would state later, as he spoke to the Galatians, to Abraham was the gospel preached, saying, And thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Peter also repeats that promise, and he repeats it in the fuller way, Acts chapter 3, where he said to Abraham was the promise made, In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So, in God's mind, he called out Abraham, and Abraham is not only the father through which seed would come, Christ, from a human standpoint, but also, as Paul states to the Galatians, if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? Speaking to the New Testament church, speaking to the Gentiles there in Galatia, which is in Asia, in Turkey now, they were then children of Abraham. And that's what these people here said. And most of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob thought that they were all blessed because they were of the seed of Abraham, the children of Abraham. And that's what they said here. We have Abraham to our father. We are his seed. We are that blessed people. We are actually the chosen ones. The chosen ones to have the blessings God promised to Abraham then and later as well. Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 17, Genesis 22 as well, when he repeats the actual words, In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that particular time that God had told Abraham to offer up Isaac. Genesis 22, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, I am here. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. So Abraham did that. He rose up in the morning, saddled an ass, took a couple of his servants with him, took Isaac, and went. He told the servants to stay part of the way, and he went on with Isaac. And then along the way, Father, Isaac said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went, both of them together. We don't know how much Abraham said that by faith. He was ready to obey God here. He even raised his hand, took the knife to slay his son, and the angel stopped him and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He says, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Obedient. Why? One thing, we have the answer right here. Thou fearest God. Not a fear like that we sometimes think of, that we cringe, that we are scared, but a fear of reverence, a fear of faith. And as we read later, Paul writing to the Hebrews, he said, Abram believed God and believed that God who had given him in his old age, when he was really dead in the flesh, normally wouldn't have children, that God had given that son to Abram and to Sarah. He said, as he gave him in that way, he believed that though he would offer him here, God would raise him from the dead, because he said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Other places we read, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham must be our father in that way, in believing in God, in having what we just read here. Now I know that thou fearest God. He proved it by a willingness to offer his son. Not only had Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb, but God also did. Right after this happened, and he didn't have to offer up Isaac, we read, Abram looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns, and Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God gave the Lamb of God. And as we read here of how these people said Abram is our father, using that to prove themselves to be right, the Lord Jesus also taking the message of Abraham and using it toward teaching them. He had said earlier, before that which we read from the last part of the chapter, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Works of Abraham. We are not saved by works. We are told plainly, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we think of works, we think of what we do in regard to the law of God. Loving God, loving our neighbor. But there's also a way in which God uses the word works in a different way. Going back to John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus said to those before him, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And then listen to what their question was. They said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? The Lord Jesus had said, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. What work is that? The Lord Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That is the only work that saves. It really is not a work. It's a trust. It's a rest. But here it's called a work, an answer to what must we do that we might work the works of God? What can we do that will please him? What can we do that will honor God? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's what Abraham did. Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness. And he believed in God the right way, from the right place, different than these people here described in John chapter 8, that had also been described as when they heard these words, they believed on him. We read of Abraham who believed in God, who justified the ungodly. Abraham had learned that he was ungodly. That's also the work of God, believing what God tells us about ourselves. We don't know how God told him, taught him. Abram lived before Moses wrote the scripture, but we have it plain enough in scripture by what Moses wrote, by the example of those that he led, how they send, always send, how the psalmist writes, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh God. It's God's work to believe that in repentance, in changing our thinking about ourself. We need to come to that. If we don't come to that, we won't be saved. As I just read the message of a pastor of years ago, not living anymore, that repentance is the door. You might say, that's strange. We thought Christ was the door. But repentance is the door out of lies. These people didn't leave that place of lies. They didn't leave the place of Satan's lies to them. Satan, who Christ said was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. He speaketh a lie. The Lord Jesus said to these people, after they were described as believing on him, and then when he said to continue in the word, then they would be set free. They said that wasn't necessary. They weren't in bondage. They didn't know their sin. Do you know your sin against God? None that doeth good, no, not one. You cannot be the exception. You cannot be one better than others. There's none. Doesn't say some. When it comes to the way of salvation, the Lord Jesus speaks of it as straight as the gate and narrow as the way, and there be few that find it. There are some. They are brought by God, taught by God, brought to repentance, humbling, knowing they're sinners. That is the greatest need in repentance. It isn't just leaving sin and thinking we get better, thinking we're now good. I repented of this sin or that sin that could leave us in pride, that could leave us in a worse place. Possibly that was one of the problems with these people. They had washed the outside of the cup. That's what the Lord Jesus had told them through his ministry. You wash the outside of the cup, but inwardly, you are filled with dead man's bones, white as sepulchers. That's what they were. But coming back to Abraham, we need to have what Abraham had. Who is Abraham? In verse 56, we read, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Abraham saw the day of Christ. We may believe that when God said to him, as we read from Genesis chapter 12, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Repeating it again, after he was willing to offer up Isaac, God told him that same message. We may believe that along with it, he knew who Christ was. He was told, like we are told, that he is the Son of God. We are told by John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We are told that nothing was made that was made without him. We are told in Genesis that on the sixth day, God said, let us make man. Christ was there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the us that made man, Adam. He is there, and Abraham knew it. Abraham knew Christ. He saw my day and was glad. To Isaac, we read, Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. We may believe that when he offered that ram, that he knew that as they were offering that before God, so God would provide his son to be an offering for our sin. All these things God must have told him. Also, Father, we read here in this eighth chapter, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. When he had said, Abraham saw my day and was glad, they said, well, you're not 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? And then his answer was what we just read. Verily, verily, truly, truly, and it is true, so true. Do you believe it's true? When Christ said to Abraham and to us as well, before Abraham was, I am. He is the great I am, one with the Father, the I am. As Paul writes later to the Hebrews, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's true. Before Abraham was, I am. He's speaking that these hundreds of years later to these people before him. And he is the same to them at that time as he was to Abraham at an earlier time in history. And now he is that to us. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So much for those that want to say God saved in different ways at different times. Sometimes they're called dispensationalists. I've heard people say, well, I'm glad I didn't live back in those days, the early history, when they had to be saved by the law. Abraham wasn't saved by the law. I repeat what I said a moment ago. Abram believed on him that justified the ungodly. Paul gives Abraham for an example to the New Testament church in Rome. Those words I just quoted are found in Romans chapter 4. Abraham believed in him who justified the ungodly. Abraham knew he was an ungodly man. Abraham, called by James the friend of God, he became that, but he had to be called the same as Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He had to be called the same as these people here, and you and I the same. As I said before, in repentance, so we will learn that we are sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. Not just from hell, not just so we can go to heaven, but you and I must be saved from our sins, your sins and my sins. What we have done wrong before God, and sadly, too often, before man as well, where we dishonor God, where we do not love our neighbors ourselves, and show that we do not love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, then the only work left to please God is, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He was God's only begotten Son, born of a woman, born of the law, to save them who were guilty under the law, like you and I. Jesus the Savior, we the sinner.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise